All right. Sometimes there are statements and things that come about that I hear that inspire me, bless me, and kind of cause me to think a little bit. And I heard one recently, and I'm actually going to share probably a couple tonight, but and this is part of, for me, part of my Christian curriculum, I guess, kind of the learning curve God has me on, because I'll read things or see things or be drawn to things at times that really inspire me. So I love to get a chance to write these things down and then reflect on them a little bit later. And this is the statement that I read recently. Jesus paid the price, you keep the change. And I thought, that's kind of an interesting statement. Jesus paid the price, you keep the change. All of the benefits that we receive through the finished work of Jesus Christ are free to us. There was only really one requirement, and that was in Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? Confess Jesus as Lord, believe God, raise him from the dead. With the heart, you believe. With the mouth, confession is made. And you know what? You receive the Spirit. The miracle of all miracles happens. Mm-hmm. But Jesus paid that price. And then we get to receive freely now all that that indicated. And I thought it was kind of neat because in our bank, when you make a transaction, they have a program that you sign up for. It's called Easy Save. And what it does is every time you make a transaction, it rounds up the dollar amount to an even amount, and then it sends that amount to your savings account. So, like if you made a transaction for $2.57, then it would send whatever the difference is there, 33 cents, 43 cents, whatever that is, to your savings account. And they have another one that was called Roundup. There's another kind of way that you would say to somebody, "I'll just keep the change, keep the change." So there's a lot of different ways, sort of little analogous things that happen in our society. But think about that when you're thinking about Jesus Christ paying the price. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it says, "You were bought with price." That all that we have received is now that we're part of God's purchased possession. As a result of what Jesus did, purchasing my redemption with his blood, I can now and forever accept it and be thankful. Is change a good thing? Some people don't adapt to change well. They are resistant to change. They like things just the way they were. We used to have a friend, finally he did change. It's been a long time, but he would just not have a smartphone. He was just so resistant to it. He said, "I'll never have a smartphone. People just waste all their time. They're on it all the time, and they're just no good," and blah, 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 blah. You know what happened? At some point in time, not too long ago, he got a smartphone. He changed. Is it a good thing? Well, I think if you can manage the change that you're undergoing, that, yeah, it is a very, very good thing. A change, it means to make something different in a particular way or to give it a different position, a different direction. It means to replace something with another, to make a shift from one to another. It means to undergo some type of modification or transformation. Lena shared this thing on Monday night about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that means is we're being changed from the inside out. We're putting the Word of God on in our minds, and God is transforming us from the inside out. That's change. That's what that transformation is. It means to pass from the possession of one owner to another. And that's exactly what happened when we were changed. We passed from the ownership of the devil, which we had no choice in. We just came into that existence when we were born. and we came into the possession of God through the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I like to do in my own heart, my own life at times when I sort of begin to start just thinking about different things or maybe feel like I need something to really help me sort of get more motivated to change, I have these 4x6 cards, and I write certain things down on them that I can then go back and reflect on. It kind of helps to make the word more practical to me, remind me of some of the great things kind of in a unique way to help me. So here's a good one. You know, because this is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you're familiar with this. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, in Jerusalem and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And, you know, that's a cool thing to think about and to know, but how does that then affect me? Well, how do I then begin to make that some sort of practice rather than it just being a doctrinal statement that's sort of detached from me? And so this is what I did. I think about like John 7:38 says, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water. And so that makes it a little bit deeper in me. And then I read this statement or made it up myself or something. It says, Holy Spirit is a river flowing through me in words and actions to change the geography around me. I probably didn't write that, but it's just such a great statement. The Holy Spirit is a river flowing through me and in me in words and in actions to change the geography around me. You know that God's presence in me through Christ changes any environment that I am in. You see, that breaks it down from just being a doctrinal truth, so to speak, into something that's more living and real to me, and it's not disassociated with the Word. It's just how I'm beginning to make the Word my own, how to implement that particular change so that it happens in a personal way. Another one is like, let's say maybe you have a financial need and you want to see that particular need met or changed, but you know, you're kind of struggling with it in your own heart. Well, there's some great verses about that, obviously. Philippians 4:19 is one of those. Give it a chance to look that up if you like. I think I can say it from memory, but Vicki will have it right here looking it up, which says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, and you think about that, and it's like, well, that's all fine and well, but I feel like I'm struggling financially. How then do I begin to really access and see the promise of God a reality in my world? And so here's another way that I made it a little bit more personal. This is actually the Amplified version. It says, and my God will liberally supply or fill until full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And so that's another way to get a little more depth, get a little bit more perspective on verses, is just to look at other versions to get sort of a greater feel for it. And then God opens these doors, kind of cool for me and you too, to these different statements by people, or you'll hear them in teachings. And so this is what I would say to myself in light of that. Today I will exercise faith to see the promises of God realized. That today, not tomorrow, not in the past, today I'm going to exercise faith. I'm going to exercise faith to see the promise of God realized. You know, there's a brother in Christ who I think does some wonderful work in teaching and helping people. And he made this statement. His name's Andrew Womack. Made this statement. He said, you must let the Word of God paint a picture of success and victory in your life. Folks, that is a major, major statement there. You must let the Word of God paint a picture of success and victory in your life. Not that you're painting the picture. You're not bringing all these imaginations to your own mind, creating a vision of you standing in your garage next to a Rolls Royce or anything else like that that's coming out of your own strength. What we do is we take this Word of God and we personalize it, and anything that relates to any particular area that we might have a need, as we begin to meditate upon that, as we begin to verbalize that and personalize that, God will bring to us that picture, that image. He will show us and work with us and help us to grab a greater vision so that then we can exercise faith, which is the title deed of things prayed for, the evidence that they're yours before you've received them. But somehow you have to be able to grasp, hold on to something. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Does that mean just the words that I'm speaking right now? No, that could mean the words that God is speaking to you, giving you the promise, giving you the picture, so that you can exercise faith in seeing those dreams and desires that God has placed within your heart come to pass. Obviously, we don't have the time to really develop this in any kind of depth here, but I'm trusting that some of these things I'm sharing tonight will just bless you and inspire you because of who you are and who you've been made to be. You know, Philippians 4:13 is another great verse. I think we'll just either close here or go one more after this. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, the emphasis there I don't think is on me. And we've always said this, say that in a kind of a different way, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not that it's all about me. It's all really all about Christ who's in me, who strengthens me. And one translation says, I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. Boy, that kind of makes it more living and real for me. That Christ's strength within me is explosive, it's dynamic, it's like dynamite. And it infuses me, it strengthens me, it empowers me to conquer every difficulty that I may come up against. Another translation, or one eye that I personalize myself, said, I personally am able to perform God's will by the energizing power of Christ, who won the victory for me and who infuses me with inner strength. That God in Christ in me gives me the victory in each and every situation. I've got to remind myself of that. I've got to personalize that. I have to say it. See, I have to embrace change, because to go from the old to the new is a change. You know, every person who gets born again doesn't automatically just become walking on water the next day. They're carrying a lot of things into the Christian life that they previously had ownership of. It takes discipline, it takes diligence and effort to put on the things of God in the renewed mind to allow that transformation to take place. Really something, man. Here's another great one. You know, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I think you've probably heard this too, and in Jeremiah 29:11, these are very, very wonderful, encouraging verses. Joshua 1:8 talks about being strong and of a good courage. Let me look it up here on my phone. You got it there, Miss Vicki? Joshua 1:8. Mm-hmm. I love that verse. You guys are probably thinking about it right now out there in Bottle Land. Joshua 1:8. Let's see, you got it there?
I have it.
Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. But to meditate upon these things. And, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I think of you. And you know what? They're all good. They're all good. So you know what? Encouraging one another. Encouragement of ourselves. It's what I call oxygen to the soul. It's the thing that brings, it's our lifeblood. It's what we do for one another. It's oxygen to the soul. It encourages us. So here's a declaration that everywhere I go today, I will speak at least one word of encouragement to somebody, someplace, somewhere. Because you know what? God is good all the time and in all ways. So I have to make a change. I have to become proactive to go out there and live the gospel, live the word of God, be Jesus in those situations. Everywhere I go today, everywhere you go tomorrow, maybe make a determination. You know what? Speak one word of encouragement. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If you pay somebody just the littlest bit of attention, many times they will open up their hearts and just start telling you all sorts of things about themselves. All right, closing verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Great verse. We're all going to look it up here. Colossians 3:16. We'll look it up in the NIV. I'll look it up there. Colossians 3:16. What do you have?
New King James.
New King James. What does that say?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Amen. NIV said, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you know, for that to occur, we have to give permission almost to ourselves to allow that change to occur. And so this is how you begin to really personalize the things of God and the things of the Word, so that those changes can really become realities, not just words on a page. Because that's the great challenge, is how to get the words off the page and into our lives and then out into manifestation day by day by day. We're not just saying Christianity is a victorious life. We're living the victory. We're seeing the victories. We're seeing the transformations. We're seeing the hand of God day by day by day. And so this is how I came to translate this verse. I give permission for his saturating presence and the power of the words concerning Jesus Christ to make their home in my heart permanently. I give permission for the presence and the saturating presence and the power of the words concerning Jesus Christ to make their home in my heart permanently. That's what that word dwell means. It means like the dwelling you're living in, the place that you are. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it have its way within you. Let God be God. See? And let the power of those words transform you and change you and to make a difference and to make a radical difference in that we all become transformed into looking like the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get out of bed in the morning, we say, you know what, today's going to be a great day. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter how you feel. It's the truth of the word as opposed to how I feel, what my emotional state is, what my physical state is. We just have to draw a line in the sand and determine in each one of our lives and hearts what is going to be the truth that we're going to hold to in every particular moment of our lives. Heavenly Father, thank you that this Word of God is so living and real, energizing, quickening, life-giving, and that it's just not words on a page, Father, but we can bring it out into evidence and to live spiritually, heads and shoulders above this world. And Father, you're so kind and good to allow us to do that, and not to puff our own selves up, but that these things are bringing glory to you, Father, praise to you, because in our own strength we would never be strong enough, wise enough, smart enough, or anything else to just to have the miraculous power and strength that you're giving to us. So we thank you for those who have called in. Thank you for experiencing and exercising faith in the power of Christ in our lives day by day, and that we may be a living testimony, a witness of your goodness. Mm-hmm. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.